are going to start a little bit different than what we normally do, because the Lord allowed me to see something this week that was sent to me, and I believe it's going to bring some revelation to a lot of people. And if you want a copy of this, I will definitely make a copy. But you let me know, because I'm not going to just make copies for the sake of making copies. But this is a prophetic word that came for 2013 by Josh Crofton, C-R-O-F-T-O-N. So I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes and release this word into your heart, because I really believe it fits basically what the Lord has shown me. Those of you who weren't with me on Wednesday, the Lord showed me that 2013 would be a year where God would literally eliminate Babylon, which is confusion. Whenever you hear the word Babylon or Babel, it's the spirit of confusion that has actually overwhelmed the church as well as many nations. This young man says, as I felt stirred to release a prophetic word for 2013, much of what the Lord has shown me has been building over the last 2 or 3 years. We are now entering 2013, and much of what has been prophesied and declared in years past is coming to fruition this year. Did you hear that, sir? Coming to fruition. Change is upon us. We are living in a time of great change, largely because the church that is coming forth in this hour, we are looking into a church that has never been seen before. She is bold, she is beautiful, and she knows her identity is in Christ. Did you hear that? Her identity is in the anointing. That word Christ is the word anointing. There is a great scripture or reformation going on within the body of Christ, where there has been so many misunderstandings regarding the scripture and the way we interpret the Bible. I believe God is raising up anointed teachers that will have a heart after God, not after themselves. They will teach out of a deep love for the Lord, bringing a solid biblical foundation to the church. And you'll see that in James chapter 3, verse 1. There is going to be a great return to the scripture with the power of revelation flowing through the church again. God wants all his children to have a personal encounter with him for themselves. In other words, each individual will be touched by God in a personal way. It won't be, I heard from somebody. The spirit of wisdom and revelation are going to illuminate our understanding of God's heart towards us. This will include how he feels about the world and those who dwell in darkness. That's in Ephesians 1, verse 17 through 19. There has been many people who feel like their lives have been on hold for a number of years. How many of you can relate? Stalemate. Even though there is progress, it feels that way. And they have not known how to move forward with the plan of God for their lives. God is granting his people the grace they need to step out in faith. Do you see that, young lady, by the choice of songs that you made for today? Okay, God is granting his people the grace they need to step out in faith and move towards the things I have already placed inside of them. Many people are going to take the plunge and move towards the things that have been here in their hearts from the beginning. This will require wisdom and faith. But God is more than ready to supply you with everything that you need. God wants his people to flow in the spirit of revelation this year, not next year. Revelation is a divine empowerment. Much like grace, revelation will empower you to accomplish what God has placed in your heart. Many people have been waiting for God to tell them what to do, when in reality, God has already placed in his desires within them. The next level is investigation. 2013 will be a year of investigation for the body of Christ, and God is going to stir up a spirit of discovery in his people to look into his word and ask hard questions. Currently, the church is being challenged to become a new wineskin in order to retain the new wine of God and his word and his spirit. God is stirring up a desire to search out for truth. In other words, you're going to get nosy. You will hear of many people who are willing to lay aside what they know in order to search for what they do not know. Proverbs 25:2. The role of a prophet. The role of a prophet in the New Testament is to encourage the church to fully engage with the voice of the Lord for themselves, not settling for anything less than authentic relationships with God. A New Testament prophet has not been anointed to be a mediator between God and the church, as Christ has become our mediator for all eternity. 1 Timothy 2:5. The ascension gifts of the prophet is to help mature the body of Christ, not to be the go-between for you and God. In other words, some people are depending on the prophetic in order to, you know, constantly do for them what they can do for themselves, and they refuse to do it. There is a great restoration of prophetic anointings that is flowing out of the church today, but God is far from finished regarding the biblical function and application of the prophetic ministry. That's Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16. A true prophetic anointing will remove the spiritual limitations in your path and enable you to see what you were not able to see before. A true prophetic anointing will stir you to run further into your future than you even thought possible, seeing the future as God intended you to see it. In 2013 and beyond, the misunderstandings much of the church has had regarding prophetic anointings and how it relates to the church today under a new covenant are going to be cleared up, meaning they're going to get rid of the confusion, which confirms for me what I had seen. There has been many prophets who are still prophesying out of a former glory rather than speaking to God's people through his finished work. I'm going to repeat that part. Many prophets who are still prophesying out of the former glory, meaning the old covenant, the covenant of rules and regulations and thou shalt not, rather than speaking of God's people through the finished work, meaning not having to deal with guilt and condemnation anymore, because that's already been dealt with. Jesus took away all your sin, not some. And you don't have a list that you can perform to make yourself dirty. He's already completed it. That's the finished work. There are many people who want to be the voice of the Lord to this nation, yet they are prophesying based on their opinion of how God sees the situation. This can create confusion. Do you hear Babylon again? Because they are filtering what God is telling them through their own preconceived ideas about what it is in store for us. I believe God is raising up prophetic voices that can keep their opinion out of the equation while releasing a pure word in season. Amen. The Father wants his children to hear his voice for themselves, not to depend on somebody else. Oh my God, it was a perfect opportunity for an amen. Amen. Try it on again. The Father wants his children to hear his voice for themselves.
Amen.
All right, good news. Now you got it. He wants us weaned from dependency on the prophetic words. God wants us to look to him for the answers.
Amen.
Amen. And not go chasing a prophetic word. This does not diminish the value of the prophetic ministry. This just means that it's time we mature in our relationship with God.
Amen.
Amen. And let prophetic word enhance the relationship when needed.
Amen.
There are times you just know that if you come to church and God is just going to lift you back up because you've been in the dump.
Amen.
It's time to get out of the dump.
Yes, Lord.
You don't even need to come to church when you're in the dump. You should get rid of the dump before you leave home. Whoops. Okay, next level. The maturation, or the maturation of the church. God is forming a fully functional body for himself. It's not to satisfy us. It's to satisfy him. As the church is becoming more like Jesus, we are learning what pleases him. As we are made in his image and likeness. The days of living under a hierarchy form of church government are coming to a close. As God never intended the church to have positions that lord over one another. The difference between a kingdom of God and all of the other government structures we see in the earth is that of God's kingdom is a family built on relationships with God and with one another. Now you better take a deep breath because tie your seat belts. Many have tried to govern the church as a top-down structure, much like a pyramid, rather than seeing the church as a living, breathing person, namely a bride. The various ministry gifts in the church that are considered the greatest are actually meant to be positions at the bottom, near the foundation. The Apostle Paul wrote, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, like Jesus himself being the cornerstone, not the capstone. Ephesians 2:20. A true apostolic and prophetic ministry will always come underneath the people of God and lift them up into the next realm of glory, and God has prepared for them. I believe there's going to be a greater understanding of the fivefold ministry and how it will function within our churches and communities we live in.
Amen.
On target? How did it sit inside your heart as you were listening? I want to know if you found it comfortable.
Yes.
Put your hand up.
Yes.
Okay. If you found it as a struggle, it's normal. If you found it comfortable, it's because you're starting to understand the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is bring people to perfection and to lift them up so that they'll make it on their way to eternity. And the desire of God is that you put on immortality now. Not next year or the year after. You put it on now. I want to take you to Ephesians 3:20. And we're going to start at verse 14. But 20 is the one that I want you to really see. So we're going to read that one first and then we'll back it up. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Say, well, you know, I don't feel much power in me. Well, maybe you need to plug in. How many know you can have a toaster and you can push that button down and it will not toast unless you plug it in. It won't work. It's got all of its details right out there. It's got the button, it's got the temperature control, it's got the lever going up and down, but it won't make toast. You're due to start making toast. Plug in. Plug into the Holy Spirit. If you ain't got him, my God, he's available. All right? The first time in my life that I tasted of this particular word was when my father-in-law was told by the doctors that he wasn't too well. And the doctor confided in me that there was a major cancer flowing in his body and that it was going to attack his brain. He never knew it, but we, my wife and I, kept it from him because we knew that he had lost the greater part of his family to that spirit. And we already knew in our hearts that God had been preparing us. We both knew it. We didn't talk to each other about it, but we both knew he was going home. So I said to the Lord, what do we do and what do we declare? And in came this particular scripture, Ephesians 3:20. That's how I learned it by heart. So whenever I read Ephesians 3:20, it's my father-in-law who lived with me for 27 years. So after 27 years, you get to know the character of a person, right? This was a very gentle man, but one thing that he had was a problem with fear, especially a fear of death and a fear of sickness and disease. He had had several surgeries. So I took that particular scripture, I typed it out, I put one copy of it on the refrigerator door, in case you forgot, you do visit there once in a while, and the other one on the bathroom mirror. Not his bathroom mirror, our bathroom mirror. And every day, when I was shaving or getting myself ready, I would declare it out loud to myself. God is going to do abundantly more than I can ask or think. And whenever there would be a crisis that his level of health would be challenged, my wife and I would look at each other and we'd say, but God's going to do abundantly more than we can ask or think. In other words, you ain't got it up here. It's impossible for you to have it within your mind what God is capable of doing. You have it in here in your spirit. But unless you tap in and plug in, you're going to be making zero toast. Every time you push that button, it's going to come back and it's going to be pale. It will not be toasted. So every day we continued. And as the challenges entered, he needed stronger medication. He was getting headaches. The doctor had told us that it had already touched a little bit of the spinal column and it was going up. And there was a tremendous fear in both of us that was trying to establish a foundation. Every time that fear would come, my wife and I would look at each other and we'd say, but God is going to do abundantly more than we can ask or think. Because we couldn't depend on our brain. We had to depend on the word that was given to us. It was also confirmed that this was the scripture that we were to stand on. And within a few weeks, we noticed that he was deteriorating and that he was forgetting things periodically and his energy levels were going down. So we moved him downstairs and we moved upstairs into his room so he wouldn't have to go up and down to go to the restroom, etc., and there was no staircase involved. We put a monitor in his room and one in our room so we had an eye, or an ear at least, into his room every day. So what I'm saying to you is, when it came time for him to go to the next level, he couldn't swallow the medication, so I called his doctor. How many of you have ever had a doctor come to your house? Put your hand way up. How many of you have ever had a doctor help you to take the patient and put him in your car and drive him to the hospital so he doesn't have to enter an ambulance situation because there was so much fear? That doctor came to my house, helped me to take my father-in-law, and went out the back door, and we put him in my passenger seat, and we drove to the hospital, him and I, and the doctor preceded us to the emergency room. Is that out of the box? Mm-hmm. Is that more than I could ask or think? Mm-hmm. Yes. He just was the instrument and he was kind to him. My father-in-law never knew what was actually hurting him, except he had a massive headache. And I think it was like 12 or 14 hours later, he was gone to the other side. God did not let him linger. He took him home. What I'm saying to you is this. We trust it by choice. Watch verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth, notice it's a family, derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, not your wallet, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen me with power through his Spirit in my inner being. I'm changing some of the words because I'm trying to tell you how I pray. I don't want it to be St. Paul's prayer to my Father. I want it to be my prayer to my Father. Got it? So that Christ may dwell in me and in my heart through faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it may not feel like you got it, but you can declare it in boldness. And I pray that you will be rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to my power, because I know I can do it. No. That's not what the word says. According to his power that is at work within me. Try that one on for size. According to his power that is at work within me. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. Are you part of all generations?
Yes.
So Paul talking to you?
Yes.
St. Paul's talking to me and you. Get it now? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and lift one hand to him. Say, all the problems in my heart.
All
the things that are unknown.
All the things that I don't
understand.
I'm releasing to my Heavenly Father.
Because he's my Papa. And you guys are my brothers and sisters. Listen up. Now. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that I do,
all that I ask,
all that I could ever imagine,
according to his power
that is at work within me,
to him be glory.
In the church.
In Christ Jesus.
For this generation.
Hallelujah.
And for my family.
And all the things that are unknown.
I turn them over to him.
Because he's got the power.
Within me.
It's his Spirit within me.
That's going to do abundantly more.
Far beyond.
What I understand or think.
Amen.
That's all I got.